Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Wednesday, the 10th of March. So much stuff to get into today. I promise you some things. We're going to get into those things. I'm going to give you, along with Ed Cole, who will be joining us shortly, we're going to give you our NBA mid-season awards. Rookie of the year, player of the year, rookie team, all NBA team, all that stuff. So we're going to give all that stuff to you today on this show. We're definitely going to talk Myers-Leonard. We're going to break that down. So we're going to take some calls, obviously, but we're going to talk about it, but we're not going to get into it as much. We're going to just, as they say, skim along the edges. But that needs to be completely broken down. And we are definitely going to do that here today. And that's going to take a lot of the show. So anything else is open. I know Dak Prescott is having his news conference right now. So if anything comes out of that, we'll share it with you. So anyway, all that's going to happen right here on the Cave Show with PLR. And like I said, Ed Cole will be joining us shortly. We are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco that is located at Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Get down there and let them know the PLR sent you. I'll take care of you with 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can also become a club member. Get your access to the members' lounge. Back there, a ton of TVs, couches, locker that backs up to the humidor, and you get a discount on cigars as well. Now, if you don't want to become a member, no, that's no issue, still plenty of spots to sit, relax, watch a ton of TVs that's up and around, as well as just enjoy the ambiance of Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. They do serve beer and wine, so you can get your adult beverage on. Now, if for any reason you can't make it down there, just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Or you're sick early enough in the day, it will ship out the exact same day. All that happens at Maduro's, Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Carry like you online, 917-889-7828. Now is the time to hop on that line. We'll be going to you very shortly. But before I do that, I got to introduce my man, my brother, my partner in crime, the one, the only Ed Cole, former Digital Media Director for the Washington Football Team, Insight Sports' very own. What's going on with you today, my brother?
What's happening, sir? We're doing this a little bit day early, you know, because I got some spring training tomorrow, so we figured let's get it in on Wednesday, right?
Well, you know what's so cool about it, too, is you have spring training, and actually I have a coverage thing tomorrow myself early, so we would just be doing a regular show. So guess what? It all worked out. Here we are, ready to go.
Yep. Yep.
Everything happens
ready to go. Anything to talk about? Yes, it does.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Hey, we have a caller on the line. Let's bring him in on Carrie Lackey Law Line. Hanging with the Cave Show PLR and Ed Cole.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Lou, what's up, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
All right. Yeah, Paul. Ed. Yeah, I want to get your thoughts, actually, on last night's game with Gonzaga and BYU. I mean, it wasn't, you know, turning out to be a blowout like I expected. I mean, I thought, you know, BYU was going to run away with it from the likes of the first half, but Zaga fought back. So, you know, it was kind of like a tale of two games last night.
It was. Lou, that shows why Gonzaga is where they are and where they are considered national championship contenders. They are the number one team in the country for a reason, and they showed it last night. They did not get down on themselves after they were down big to BYU. And BYU is an excellent basketball team. They're going to make a run in the field of 68. That's an excellent basketball team. It's just that Gonzaga, it was a tale of two halves. Gonzaga made the proper adjustments, and they just turned that thing on. And that showed they were so impressive. I was impressed by the Bulldogs and also by BYU. I know it didn't end up the way they wanted to for Brigham Young, but Gonzaga showed why they are the number one team in the country and still the only undefeated team in the country.
Yes, and only the fifth time since 1976 that a team has finished the season the regular season unbeaten.
Yes. It's ridiculous.
I think the best team was the UNLV.
And I think they still got
robbed. And they got robbed against Duke. That Anderson Hunt foul out was ridiculous. And I know Bobby would kill me if he ever heard me say that, but truth is the truth.
And it's Delia. Yes, I am also remember that.
Man, that was a hell of a team. That was a hell of a team.
Yes, it was.
I'm not as young as I look.
Good.
Yeah.
We never accused you of looking young.
No.
I'm a regular Dick Clark. What can I say? Anyway.
Even though I've never seen you, I just assume that you're young at heart, and you probably look young.
Oh, I do. I look about 20 years I look 20 years younger than my actual age.
That's great.
Like I said, a regular Dick Clark.
Yeah, congratulations to Gonzaga. That's great. 26-0,
yeah,
and the way they rallied back to win their conference championship, that's great.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. I thought it was gonna be a cakewalk, to be honest. But surprise, surprise.
Do you think it hurt them by not losing?
No.
No,
I'm being serious.
No.
We hear this a lot, and I know I'm not. This isn't the first time you guys heard it. But if you're gonna have a stinker, have the stinker before you get to the tournament.
No, because what that does, Paul, is it shows if you have what's in you to rally back and beat BYU in the biggest game of the conference, your conference championship, that shows a lot about your basketball team going into when they head to Indiana to get ready for the field of 68. That just shows a lot for me that they have enough intestinal fortitude, and they have enough rally within them as a team to come back against all odds against BYU when all the chips are down. That shows me a lot when they get ready to get on that plane and head to Indianapolis, the Indiana area, and get ready for the field.
Yes. Oops.
Just
yeah. Okay, just next order of business. They have the list out for the finals for the Naismith Hall of Fame, and for the most part, it's a pretty good list, except maybe like one or two. I don't know if you're familiar with the list or not, but I'll read it back if you want.
No, it's right up in front of me.
We move the punch again. What else is new? All right, but what do you make of it? I mean, I agree with most, but I mean, Pierce, you know, it's a lock. Ben Wallace, yeah, and some of the women's players, Griffin and Jackson, those are good choices there. What do you make of Bosch? How do you pronounce it?
He's a Hall of Famer.
Chris Bosh? Oh, yes.
Hall of Famer.
Absolute Hall of Famer. Michael Cooper's a Hall of Famer. Paul Pierce is a Hall of Famer. Bill Russell, as an NBA head coach, a Hall of Famer.
What about
all these names are
Weber?
Team worthy. Absolutely.
What about Weber?
C. Webb? Yes.
Oh, no.
What do you think, Paul?
No.
I knew it.
No. I don't think he is. I think he is a very good player. I think he's in the Hall of very, very good. But I think when I think of him, I think really, really good player. I don't think Hall of Famer. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I can rephrase it over and over. No, to me, he is not a Hall of Famer. No. I think he was a very good player. I like C. Webb a lot. And I mean, I like C. Webb a lot. I think he was a very, very good NBA player. I just don't think there's nothing in my mind. When I think of Hall of Fame players, there's certain things that stand out to me. And it's not just a stat line. And I know people are going to say, you know, but there are Hall of Famers in there that even though I like a lot, I'm not sure they're Hall of Famers. I think Mo Cheeks is incredible. I didn't think he was a Hall of Famer. When I look at this list, and then Lou, I'll tell you what. Give us the five you would put in because we're going to have to jump to commercial and we'll finish this on the other side. Give us the five you would put in. Or is it seven that goes in, Ed?
Wallace.
Is it five or seven?
Seven, okay. Well, I will put in Pierce, of course, even though I'm not a Celtics fan. Yuck. Wallace, Griffin, Jackson.
Give first names because if someone is listening to you, they won't know who you're talking about.
Paul, Michael, Lauren, Ben, and Yolanda.
You're killing me. Lauren Jackson, Paul Pierce, Bill Russell, Michael
Russell.
Cooper, and Yolanda Griffin.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. And we'll give ours on the other side. And we'll give our other ones on the other side. I got it.
All right.
All right, buddy.
I couldn't say anything.
Thank
you
very much.
That was a joke, though. You missed it. By the way, Ed, if you're interested, you can join my Saturday show, Enhanced Sports Show. Saturdays 5 to 7 my time. The number to call is 512-543-4662. 512-543-4662, and it is Eastern time. All right.
Hey. I think
Thanks,
we lost
folks.
It for a second. I'll make sure he gets it. Thank you, Lou.
Thanks, Paul.
Don't worry, sir. When we come back, we'll break down who we think should be in the Hall of Fame from this list. I know I get a lot of heat for a lot of things I say, especially when it comes to Hall of Famers, but we will discuss right after this break. It's Cave Show, PLR, one and only, Ed Cole.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up!" Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR and the one only Ed Cole. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday morning. It's hump day. I can't believe I did not mention that already. If you miss any parts of the show, you can always check us out 3 p.m. on the replay. The remix over at KSRN. Download that app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Also, you check us out at 1 o'clock. Obviously, you listen live now. On BTR or KSR, and just go to the Listen Live button at sportscave.com. Cave is with a K. Click that button, and there we are. If you click that button any other time, a plethora of our shows will appear. Pick one that you like to hear again, or pick a new one maybe that you missed. Anyway, all that happens over at the sportscave.com. Again, Cave is with the K. It is Wednesday. It is hump day, and coming on with me today, special day, since we can't hook up tomorrow, the one and only Ed Cole. Ed, thanks for hanging out with me. And we were talking about the Hall of Fame. And we were going to do this as an other, but Lou brought it up, so let's just attack it before we get into our other NBA news, considering outside of Dak, who's doing a press conference live right now, the Hall of Fame and the NBA with Myers Leonard and the Midseason Awards are all going on as the NBA resumes tonight. But let me go ahead and give you the first-time finalists. Lauren Jackson, Paul Pierce, Rick Adelman, Michael Cooper, Bill Russell as a coach, Jay Wright, coach of Villanova, Yolanda Griffin. Excuse me, Griffin. Yolanda Griffin is a singer. Mary Ann Stanley, Chris Bosh, Letta Andrews, Tim Hardaway, Marcus Johnson, Ben Wallace, and Chris Webber. I don't know why they put him on the list and say he was the first, because he's definitely not a first. And give me the people you would put in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to put a number on it after all. Who would you put in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
From that list.
Oh, my gosh. If it was limitless, I'd put them all in there. But, oh, my gosh. I would put Chris Bosh would be there. Michael Cooper would be there. Paul Pierce. Bill Russell would be there. He led the Celtics to championships in 68 and 69. Gosh, I'd put Coach – oh, my gosh, it's so hard. You could put Coach Adelman in there and Coach Wright and all the ladies, Yolanda, Lauren, Marianne, and Letta. My gosh. But, okay, so we'll go Chris. We'll go Bosh, Michael Cooper, Paul Pierce, Bill Russell. Dude, why don't I just say all of them? If it's limitless, I'm putting them all in. I'm just going to make it simple. Even though you think Chris Webber is not a Hall of Famer, I think he is. Do you think Tim Hardaway is a Hall of Famer?
No.
I do.
No, I think he had. Mm-hmm. I think he had a really good.
That's what.
Well, okay.
Tim is a Hall of Famer, bro. Why do you think he's not?
Hold on. But first off, you took the easy way out because all these people aren't getting in. So you got to pick someone. You know, you just said everybody. You can't have if you have a party of shots, you're not letting everybody in. Some people ain't getting in.
I have a limitless party. I have just an open invitation for everybody to be in the Hall of Fame.
I was about to say, y'all hear this? If you throw on a party, just show up. Here's who I put
in.
Let me go this route. I'll tell you who I would put in. I put Lauren Jackson in. I put Paul Pierce in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put Michael Cooper in. I'd put Chris Bosh in. And the reason I'm putting Cooper in, it's not because of his offensive stats. It's what he did defensively. In a day where you were actually allowed to play defense. Then I'm putting Marcus Johnson in because it's not just an NBA Hall of Fame. It's a basketball Hall of Fame. So I'm taking what he did at UCLA along with what he did as a professional. And then I'm putting in Jay Wright.
Okay, on that basis, then would you not put C. Webb in there after what? No, Michigan did not win any national championships with the Fab Five, but they went to back-to-back Final Four appearances. Everything they did in Ann Arbor does not make him a Hall of Famer along with what he did in the NBA?
He is so trapped for me, dude. I just – when I look at him, I see it's not like an easy choice. I just not at Michigan. Yeah, he was really good, but they were still good the year after when he left, and Juwan Howard was still there. Now, granted, they didn't get to the Final Four, but they were still a good team.
Paul, say he didn't have that gaffe against North Carolina in the championship game,
would that sway
your decision?
No, I think his NBA career actually hurts me more than helps me. Nothing that he did in college. When I think of the NBA, I think he put up nice numbers. I thought he did a lot of good things. I want you to tell me, so when we think Paul Pierce, and I'm gonna be hard here, even though I just said I gave Marcus Johnson the pass on NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a moment of Paul. I bet you can think of a moment with Paul Pierce. I bet there's something that stands out. There's something that stands out about Paul Pierce's NBA career.
Make him Hall of Fame worthy. Yes.
Yeah. There's moments. There's a game winner. There's something.
Hundreds of moments.
There's something that stands out.
Yeah.
There's a move he went through. There was something with Michael Cooper. I remember him helping shut down the Sixers in one of those finals. The way he played defense. The way he played defense against Bird and DJ and Ainge. That comes to mind.
Yeah.
Jay Wright, the suits and the wins. It's always, they go hand in hand with me, the suits and the wins. When I think of Chris Bosh, what he did in Toronto before he went down to Miami. But when you think of Chris Webber, give me something that stood out for you that he did in the NBA. A move, a shot, something, a big defensive play. What stands out to you?
Paul, I just think he was just overall a really good player. He averaged 20 points a game for 9 straight years. He was a 5-time All-Star. He was Rookie of the Year back in 94, All-NBA first team in 2001. That makes him Hall of Fame worthy, because that meant whether he was with the Bullets or whether he was with Sacramento or whatever. I mean, he was still productive, and he was still a dangerous threat on the basketball court. And winning world championships should not be a prerequisite for you making the Hall of Fame. It should be your entire body of work. And I thought Chris Webber, over his years in the NBA, his body of work makes him Hall of Fame worthy.
I didn't say the finals. He had to make the finals. I said, name me a move or something he did that resonates in your memory.
There's a lot of them, Paul. Does anything resonate to you?
No, nothing. Not one. Nothing resonates in my mind. Not one thing that he did resonates in my mind. And there was no go-to move. I don't know. There's nothing that stands out, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to be one of those people that are going to be like, if he gets in, let's have a fit. If he gets in, good for him. You know what I mean? Good for him. I'm happy that he got in. I'm not like that. But
Paul, I just think that run that he had, in Sacramento from 98, I'm looking at his numbers on Basketball Reference, from 98 to like 2002, 2003, when he was four out of those 5 years, he was an All-Star. And that 2000-2001 season, he averaged 27 and 11, double-doubles every night those 5 years. It's just consistent, strong basketball from C. Webb, from the truth, on a nightly basis for Sacramento and Washington in his early years. To me, he's a Hall of Famer. I think.
Mm-hmm. On the Kerry Lackey Law Live here on the Cave Show, PLR, one only Ed Cole, let me ask you a question. Is Blake Griffin a Hall of Famer?
Yes. To me, he is.
Blake Griffin is a Hall of Famer to you?
Yes.
Oh, well,
yes.
Then, of course, Chris Webber is getting in. Blake Griffin is not even close to a Hall of Famer. For what? What did he do? He averaged 21 points a game, but what else did he do?
His 8 years with the Clippers were very good, Paul. That first year in Detroit with the Pistons, he was very good before the injuries hit him. Averaged 24.5 points his first year in Detroit. Made the All-Star game at age 29. And that was 9 years into his NBA existence. Again, a consistent resume of basketball, to me, makes him Hall of Famer.
See, I think Chris Webber is Blake Griffin. And I don't think Blake Griffin is a Hall of Famer. And I'm, like I said, if they get in, great. I mean, I'm happy for them. I'm not gonna be like these idiots out here when Dak signed on the I don't know why Dak is getting paid tour. So if he gets in, that is incredibly awesome.
What makes him a Hall of Famer over Brother C. Webb or Brother Griffin?
You didn't hear me put him in.
Oh.
You didn't. You heard me say Mike Cooper.
Ben. Oh.
No, I did.
I
think 2 or 3 year run and as a great defender, but you did absolutely nothing else. Okay, so there are certain people that stand out and get that award.
He won the championship with the Pistons.
There are certain people that stand out. Dennis Rodman, I didn't care less if he scored. What he did was Hall of Fame worthy. Is Ben Wallace as good as – I don't think so.
From a defensive standpoint, yes, I do. I think so. Four-time Defensive Player of the Year, four-time All-Star. He won the, like I said, won the championship. He all defensive team five times in his career. Yes, he's a Hall of Famer. I think he was just as good defensively as Rodman was.
Again, if he gets in,
he just wasn't as offensive. He just wasn't outgoing as Rodman was when he was with the Pistons and the Bulls, of course.
You're talking about later Rodman. Early Rodman wasn't demonstrative. He just played his role in Detroit. And Defensive Player of the Year was a whole lot harder to win back in those days because guys actually played defense. You had dudes that were actually defensive, you know, specialists. So, and the same with Tim Hardaway. And Tim Hardaway is really good. I'm not going kicking and screaming if he gets in. He's a Chicago guy. But
is Chris Mullin a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, he's in already.
Oh, yeah, duh.
He's already in.
It's Wednesday. Yeah, I know.
So,
duh.
Like I said, we'll see. We'll see if he gets in. We'll see if they get in. I'm not. If they get in next year, I'm good with that too. I just don't want to just say, well, you average 20 points a game in the NBA, so you're automatically in. I just don't see. When I see Blake Griffin, I see Chris Webber. When I see Chris Webber, I see Blake Griffin. I think they're both really. Let me ask you this: does DeMarcus Cousins get in when he comes up? He averaged 20 points a game.
No, DeMarcus Cousins is not a Hall of Famer.
Well, why? He averaged 20 points a game. He averaged more rebounds than Blake Griffin. Why is he not in?
I don't know, dude. I just don't think DeMarcus is he a Hall of Famer to me? No, he's very good in his career. He's just been a journeyman to me. He just hasn't been as consistent as I would want him to be for a man of his size and his talents. He's okay.
So before injury, when he was in Sacramento, before he got hurt, those 6 years where he was putting up 1 year 26-9, 24-9, 22-8 as a rookie, 14-7. I mean, before he got hurt, he was the man. There's a year he was doing 27-8. New Orleans Pelicans before he got hurt, 24-12.
Paul, those numbers sound kind of like my boy C. Webb, the numbers he was putting up in Sacramento. What did I say, 27-11 in 2000, 2001? Oh, 24.5-10 in 2001, 2002. Oh, okay. In Philadelphia, 2005, 2006, that was his 12th year in the league. He was still getting 20-10, year 10 in the league. So what's the difference?
You just made my point.
If you throw out the numbers are on par between DeMarcus and C. Webb. I'm just saying.
You just made my point. You just made my point because I don't think DeMarcus is a Hall of Famer. And you said you didn't think he was a Hall of Famer. So if their numbers are similar. That's what I said. If their numbers are similar.
Oh, and I know. Gosh.
Neither one of them won anything. Neither one of them won anything.
Dude, we can talk. I know. We can talk this for hours. You know, and we can do this, but. We got other stuff to talk about. But to me, C. Webb is a Hall of Famer. I'm just putting it out
He'll
there.
Get
DeMarcus
in.
Is not.
He'll get in. Actually, you know what? He'll get in because there was outrage for him not getting in last year. And NBA guys love Chris Webber. So he's getting in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, if I voted, I wouldn't vote him in. Yeah, he's –
Bro,
he starts calling games.
Do you like him on the TNT broadcast? I think he's good. I think he's better
than
Reggie. I love C-Webb.
Didn't you what I just
C-Webb's
said?
Good.
Until he starts calling games, oh, my God, you can have him.
Oh.
He
you don't
is
like him? I think he's good.
No.
C-Webb is good, man. No. Dog,
you
went on one. Good.
You know what? He's good and bad. What do you believe?
Yeah.
The children are
good
our future.
Terrible.
Good and
good.
Terrible, dude.
Yeah. Good and terrible.
Good and terrible. Man, when he starts,
that's the great
talking,
thing about
this,
like, Paul. I mean, yeah, but dude, this is the great thing about this. We can talk and we can have all of our opinions. Neither, you know, we're neither right nor wrong. We have our own opinions and feelings, and like, that's the great thing about debating. You have your points,
it
I
is.
Have my points. points and everybody else has their points.
I concede with you on the Hall of Fame. Like I said, if he gets in, I think he's going to get in. You're good, but you're nuts if you think he's good at TV. Oh, my Lord.
Oh,
he is he's what we call an ear bleeder.
No, Reggie is an ear bleeder.
Look, I'm not saying Reggie is great, but I take Reggie. See, Webb says obvious things, like Dame Lillard pulled up from three. That was deep, but it's still only three. Of course it's only three. They only have a three.
Yeah, there are no four-point shots yet.
Dame Lillard, they made you a four-point shot. I hope they don't, but yeah. Listen, let's break. Let's come back. Let's talk about this all. Yeah, Chris, you know what? I changed my mind. I'll make you a deal. I'll vote for C-Web in the Hall of Fame as long as I ain't got to hear him on TNT no more. Fair switch?
No. I went Hall of Fame and good Chris Webber on TV.
Yeah, you know what? I want that too. I want good Chris Webber. I'm just waiting for him to come on. This is the Cave Show with PLR with Ann Cole. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Hey, this is Mikel Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR, the one, the only Ed Cole. We are here having fun today. I don't know, somehow we've turned into a debate show, which they should. If they want a real debate show, get us, because it's cordial and there's not a lot of yelling. Best way to debate a couple of intellectual cats doing it the right way. Anyway, make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, the Facebook, Caves with a K. SportsCave.com is the website, Caves with a K, and you can get me directly at PLR on Sports. Here with my brother, the one and only Ed Cole. Ed, so let's do this. Let's do these awards for the first half of the NBA season. Let's start off with, let's do it this way. I'll pick the easiest one first. I'm going to say on an all-rookie team, obviously you can only have five. If we went with LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Haliburton, Emmanuel Quigley, James Wiseman, Cole Anthony, and Patrick Williams, those are the top seven. Which five would you take, or rather, what two would you leave off?
I guess I'm trying to bring that list up again. I don't want you to have to repeat it. Oh, here we go. Rookie of the year. Okay. Man, let me look at this list. Oh, that was – gosh, what two to leave off? That's a daggone good question.
I'll tell you, on my end, even though he's my guy, I leave Patrick Williams off for sure. As of now, first half of the season, as of now, he would not be on.
I'd leave Patrick and Wiseman off. If Wiseman was more healthy, and if he wasn't so much banged up in the beginning of the season, he was so off and on from a health standpoint for the Golden State Warriors, I would say yes. But, yeah, I would leave those two off. I agree with you.
I would go exact same. Yeah, Cole Anthony has played pretty well. Quickly is balling in New York. A lot of people are kind of sleeping at New York.
Yeah,
and Tyrese – Haliburton is crushing it out in Sacramento. But we know who stands out. And so we'll just go right to Rookie of the Year. It's, I don't even think we need a drum roll for that one, do we?
The kid in Charlotte, yep.
Yeah, LaMelo. The ball brother that actually is the real baller is crushing it, man. Crushing it. So let's give him.
Lonzo's all right.
Lonzo's good.
On nights when he's on, Lonzo's all right. He's good. But
yeah,
his brother's
yeah,
better.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's the middle brother that's, I think he's selling insurance now because he can't play. And then let's go with the defensive player of the year.
It's between Ben Simmons and Rudy Gobert. I would probably go. I'd go with Ben. I love how tenacious he is on defense. You know, there's so much going back and forth about Ben and his shooting ability and all that stuff. But from a defensive standpoint, that kid just plays. We saw it against we saw it against Utah the other night, right before the All-Star break. The kid was tenacious. I love Ben Simmons, the way he plays defense. For me, it's Ben. Who you got?
I have the same. I have Ben Simmons.
You got Ben?
I have Ben Simmons, too, believe it or not. I think he is – excuse me. Sorry, got our next commercial already lined up. Apologize for that. Definitely. Ben Simmons is just a matchup nightmare when he gets on you with the length, the speed, the athletic ability. Mm-hmm. I'm with you all the way. I think he is the defensive player of the year. Let's go with most improved player.
Ooh. Who's the most improved player? Who you got as I think about it?
I'm torn between two. Either Julius Randle, because even though he's always did decent numbers, he's really putting them up now. And Jeremy Grant in Detroit. Because we didn't see his offensive game like this in OKC. And he is straight up balling. So neck and neck with those two. I guess if I had to go with one, just because we've seen Julius get numbers, but now we're seeing him get numbers winning, that doesn't mean as much to me as Jeremy Grant is kind of displaying everything he can do and not just be a defensive guy. So I'm going to go with Jeremy Grant.
I'll agree with you. Yeah. Once he got to Detroit, once he got away from Denver and got to Detroit, yeah, he took that team onto his own. I'll agree. Jeremy Grant in Detroit, even though he's on a gosh awful team, I feel bad for him. But still, yeah, Jeremy is balling in Detroit.
Sixth man of the year.
Oh, no question. Jordan Clarkson in Utah.
Yeah.
No, please. No question.
Yeah. No question. I mean, I'm with you. One.
Dude, he is balling and putting up numbers. He's putting up starter numbers.
He is. He's having a great year. Isn't it funny, though? Let me say this very nicely. I find it really funny that the Lakers kept Kyle Kuzma, but Jordan Clarkson is getting off, Brandon Ingram is getting off, Josh Hart is playing down in New Orleans. Julius Randle. It just seems like they kept the wrong guy. Maybe it's just me.
But it's not you. They did not keep the right guy. You're right. But at least it makes the league more competitive because all the guys they got rid of are doing well on their teams, and it just adds more. It spreads the talent out, though, right? Doesn't it, Paul?
Yeah, it does. It really does.
It gives you more. It gives you more incentive for other basketball teams, but just for those talented players.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny that they just.
But dude, Julius is balling in New York. I'm so happy for him. Get it, bro.
And like I said, giving it to Jeremy Grant is not me taking it away from the other guy. I just think he's just showing more of what he can do than he had the opportunity to show before. So I think that's the premise I was going on. Let's go with All-NBA. And we'll do it like this. We'll do 4 backcourt, 6 front court. Your scribing is better than mine. So we'll do it like that, and then we'll break down who should be on first team and second team. So we got to do 6 front court, 4 backcourt. I say we start with the backcourt first because I think that's going to be the easiest. In the backcourt,
yeah.
The first is going to be Dame. It's going to be Steph.
This is league wide, not East and West.
League wide. This is the one that counts.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
So Steph.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Steph. Yes.
Dame.
Steph. Dame.
I'm going to be real controversial. I'm putting Book on there.
Yeah, I was thinking D Book. Yes.
And
three.
Let's temporarily put Luka on.
I was thinking Luka or Luka or Trey. You want Luka over Trey?
I would. For all NBA, without a doubt.
Okay, that's the backcourt. Okay. Front court's just as easy to pick.
Pretty much. LeBron.
We got Joker. Joker, yeah.
Yep. Embiid.
We got Embiid.
Why?
How many are we doing? 10?
6.
6, okay, so we got 2 more.
I said Kawhi, right?
Yes. That's crazy, bro. We didn't say Tatum or Jaylen Brown or anybody in the backcourt. It's just too much talent in that backcourt, bro. I'm just looking at the Celtics right now.
Tatum is front court.
Yeah, Tatum is front court.
Yep. The only reason I didn't say KD is because he's been hurt. Otherwise, KD is right there.
Yes. I'll put Giannis number 5.
Giannis, freak, of course. Oh, take Doncic out of backcourt. Put James Harden. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Dude, would you keep D-Book or would you put Kyrie in there? Are those interchangeable?
I think they are. I mean, hell, the Suns have a better record. And he's playing more games. Kyrie hasn't played a lot of games.
Yeah, yeah. But when he plays, goodness.
Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, D-booked it. Yes. That's number 6 for the front court.
That's 6?
That's 6. Yep.
Wow. I know they go 3 teams, but midseason we're only going to go 2. So now here comes the fun part. Who's first team?
If AD was there, would you put him up in the front court?
Yeah, he's just missed too many games. So listen, if there's a third team, we already have a bunch of guys that are injured. We have AD, we have KD, we have Kyrie, we have Luka. Hell, we always need one more. And those are just the guys that are banged up. So that's what I'm saying. It's just mid-season. When these guys come back, it's going to get even harder. But I think first teams are really simple. Steph and Dame in the backcourt. Joker, Embiid, and LeBron in the front court. My opinion. I think that was the easiest thing.
Yeah. Oh, I give some serious consideration to Giannis, though. But, yeah, Joel, Nikola, and LeBron, yes.
No.
And then Steph and Dame.
Yeah, it's Steph and Dame.
And, man, just a 1A from Harden and a 1A from, you know me, dude. I want to throw all these cats in there, but you can only have 5.
Yeah.
That'd be a strong second team, though, wouldn't it? Coming off the bench, huh, Paul?
Dame is going to be first team. I think the question will come down to how Brooklyn ends up. If Brooklyn ends up, first, second best record in the NBA, then I think James Harden will get the nod over Steph. I think it'll come down to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Golden State's they're 19 and 18. They're in the playoff hunt. They're in for that 9th and 10th spot. But, yeah, 19 and 18 as opposed to 24 and 13 where Brooklyn is. Mm-hmm. That gets them more consideration.
All right. Next, coach of the year.
Of course, we want to say Monty Williams. Quinn Snyder's doing a fantastic job with Utah. And Steve Nash has done a great job with everything he's had to go through in his first year. And Doc's doing his thing in Philly. But I'm going with Monty. Got to go with Monty.
I'm going
based
with Monty.
Off of, yeah, based off what he's had to work with and how quick that him and James Jones have turned this team around, coming off the bubble, and they just picked up where they left off from Orlando. Paul, 24 and 11, second best record in the NBA behind Utah. It's got to be Monty. But I would give some consideration to Quinn. Yeah, because 27 and 9, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yep. Exactly, yeah.
Sean Marks with Brooklyn.
For the trade.
Pulling that
huh?
thing off with Harden.
He's
a general manager,
Jones.
Right? He managed it.
Yeah. I'm going with James Jones.
I thought about James, yes.
Yep. Going with him.
I'm going.
All right,
I also thought about Daryl Morey too, but yeah.
Sean Marks
for me in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm staying in Phoenix.
He's still managing the basketball operations and doing a great job, Paul. So you don't have to necessarily make moves all the time to be front office man of the year.
Well, but
do you?
But you got to do something. You got to do something though. Morey just got to Philly. And, yeah, he hired Doc, but he hasn't done anything else. The players are the same. So what has he done that is going to catapult him past a Marks who not only, you know, pulled off a huge trade or James Jones who goes out and gets a Chris Paul, brings back a Kaminsky, and does all these other moves. Abdul Nader, who's playing well off the bench. To me, that's just you did more. Like every year, you could have given the GM award to Jerry Krause in Chicago. But after the roster was set, what did he do? He had Mike and Scotty. It was done. So I think you got to do something. And I'm not lessening what he did, but he didn't do anything.
Bringing Doc Rivers in was pretty big.
Brett
Brown's time probably over there, but. Yeah.
Okay, but let's be
fair. It doesn't necessarily always have to be players, Paul. It can be front office personnel. It can be the head coach of the basketball team that changes the culture and changes the look and the feel of a basketball team, not just players.
I got you, but they have always had a top record. Even when Brett Brown didn't know what he was doing, he had enough talent to coach them to a good record. And Morey didn't hold on to any shooters. They still don't have any shooting. He didn't bring in any shooting, and the Sixers are still the Sixers. 16-3 at home, 8-9 on the road under Doc Rivers.
Yes.
They still can't win away from Philadelphia. So what is Morey doing that is that much better?
18-6 in the conference. They're in first place. They're top in the Eastern Conference.
They're 8-9 on the road. They can't win away.
Yes, Milwaukee's 8-9 on the road. So what does that say about Mike Budenholzer?
I didn't put him in coach of the year.
No, I'm just saying that as one of the top teams in the NBA, the Celtics are 7-12 on the road, but they're number 4 in the Eastern Conference. What does that say about Brad Stevens?
It says a lot about Brad Stevens.
We're just taking a macro look at this thing now, Paul.
But when you pull those names out, I have issues with all of them. I don't think Budenholzer is a playoff coach. I think he's a regular season coach. And I think that stretches all the way back to Atlanta. So he has to do more than just have a good record to be coach of the year for me. Something has to look different. Same with the coach in Boston. I think he's awesome. But Danny Ainge for me isn't up for exec of the year because he's let too many good players walk and the end of their bench looks like a mid-major team. They're not good.
Yes.
So Brad Stevens had a superstar. He let him go because he didn't know how to coach him. Brad Stevens is able to coach guys that come up with him and guys that
were
in the grind together. I'm sorry?
You talking about Gordon Hayward?
No, well, Gordon Hayward was his guy. I'm talking about Kyrie Irving. He couldn't coach that type of attitude. He had to get his own guys, getting Jason Tatum from a start, Marcus Smart as a start, Jaylen Brown as a start, Gordon Hayward from college. Guys that were his type of guy, he's good at. He's good with. Kyrie Irving's personality didn't change in Cleveland, and they found a way to coach him with Ty Lue. Didn't change in Boston. They couldn't coach him. And it definitely didn't change in Brooklyn. And Steve Nash has found a way to coach around his personality. So, no, those aren't impressive things to me. And like I said, I think Daryl Morey is a good guy. I think he's a good GM. But for GM of the year, what they did in Brooklyn, it's huge. And they're making it work. What they did in Phoenix, it's huge. And they're making it work. What he's done in Philly, yeah, he brought in Doc. But let's be honest. Doc, as much as I like him, outside of, you know, Boston, his team has blown more 3-1 leads in the playoffs than any team in history. So I got to see what Doc can do in the playoffs first. And if they're not winning on the road, that scares me.
Yeah, it does. That kind of sticks out to me. And you look at the Suns, they're 12-5 on the road. The Lakers, 13-5. All the top teams in the Western Conference, Utah's 12-7, even though they lost 3 out of 4 on that last road trip before the All-Star break. They were really good on the road before that road trip. You've got to be able to win on the road, especially
you
especially
win on the road.
Time.
So that's why. MVP, who you got?
Ooh, goodness gracious. I'm going with the Joker. I'm going with Nikola.
First half, I'm giving it to Embiid. I just like what he's done, carrying a team with no shooting. And I'll tell you what put me over the top for the first half. Right before their last game, before they went to All-Star break, they needed a three. As the center, he did a step-back three to send the game to overtime. That tells you right there they have no shooting on that team. And he's fighting through. And I know they have people going, well, you got Seth Curry. Well, when it's your only shooter that shoots threes, you don't leave him. You just stick with everyone else.
True.
So I like what Ben is doing individually. I think they could be better on the road. I love – Jokic is actually one of my favorite players in the NBA. So I can always think of a reason to give it to him. Always. Because I thought he should have been in the voting last year. But Embiid is just up there. I really think LeBron got hurt by AD getting hurt. Because the Lakers aren't very good without him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought not only would LeBron win the award this year, he would win it because he didn't win it last year when he deserved it. But if the Lakers are going to play this kind of basketball, he's just simply not going to win.
I agree. For me, Nikola got it because he's averaging 27 and almost 9 assists for a man that's 6'11", 284, and he's shooting almost 60% from the field. Those 4 games on the road before the break, Paul, OKC, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. At Chicago, at your Bulls, 39, 14, and 9. At Milwaukee, 37, 10, and 11. And then 20, 12, and 8 against Indiana. Just the man is just almost a triple-double machine for a guy his size. And he's just, my gosh, there's nothing that he can't do. 6'11 point guard, pretty much, even though he's considered a center. There's nothing that Nikola cannot do on the basketball court. And it's incredible. A guy 6'11", 284, does what he does physically.
Yep. Well, there you have it, everyone. You have our picks. Rookie of the year, coach of the year, all
like
that season.
Paul, you think that people liked our back and forth, our banter? Do you think the folks, the people liked our banter? You and I just battling it out back and forth? Not battling out. You know, we're just chopping it up, you know?
Yeah. Most of them probably are going to think that I was right. Let's move on, though.
Really? Hey, I didn't.
let's move on. Unfortunately, we're going to end the show on a note that's bad. Well, they did.
I mean,
most of them just, they already wrote in. Myers-Leonard. They wrote in already. It's already counted. It was tabulated.
Okay.
You didn't get the email? You didn't get the instant message?
No, I didn't. Oh there
my
it is.
Bad.
It just came through the email. There, it's in my inbox.
Yeah.
There it is.
Okay. Myers Leonard. Oh, my goodness. We have a couple minutes, and he doesn't deserve more than that. He decided to use a very derogatory term. Now, I want to know what is going on in this world that makes people think that they can just come out and say this type of crap, and deep down in their heart must believe there's no repercussions. Because you can't use that type of Jewish poor stereotype slang type, whatever you want to call it. That's unacceptable. And he says that he's 28 years old. He says it on a live video stream on Twitch. And this idiot, instead of, and this is what gets me in it, instead of saying, crap, I can't believe I said it, that was stupid, I apologize. Even though he apologized, the first thing he said was, I didn't know what it means. After you, I don't even know what to say after you said that stupid crap.
When I read it, when I read the article on the four letter and all these other articles that talked about it, the first thing I was just like, I kind of shook my head, Paul, but then I was disappointed more about anything that he would get on Twitch and he's playing Call of Duty or whatever game he's playing and he would come out to say that word, which obviously we will not say because it's just sickening that Myers would come out and do that and just disrespect the Jewish community by saying that. And then I love the fact that Julian Edelman from the Patriots came out and wrote an open letter to Myers Leonard and invited him. Hey, he's like, hey, bro, I'm down in Miami too. Let's go ahead and get together and let's talk about this. But yeah, Paul, for the fact that he said he didn't know anything about it, but evidently you've heard the word from somebody else. Otherwise you wouldn't have used it. It wouldn't have just came into your vocabulary unless you heard somebody else say it. But yeah, no place in this world for somebody to say that stuff that he said on Twitch, especially representing the Miami Heat. And of course the Miami Heat put him on. He's away from the Heat indefinitely until they get through this investigation while the league investigates it and the Miami Heat investigates it. But what do you think the ultimate repercussions are going to be with this?
Well, I think they're not going to pick up his option. We got 30 seconds left. They're not going to pick up his option and away from the team. Mm-hmm. And definitely, I think it's kind of misleading in some ways. He was already hurt, and he wasn't going to play again this year anyway. So all they basically said is rehab away from us. You can't come to games while you can't do all this.
He will not be with him from a physical standpoint, not in the building, nowhere else.
Exactly. So we'll see how it works out. He may end up getting cut. They may end up eating the money because it wasn't like they were going to go anywhere. Anyway, this year, but
from a PR standpoint, the Heat cannot keep him anymore.
No, they got to let him go, and we'll see if his talent is good enough for someone to forgive. You know how professional sports go. If you're really good, you can get away with saying certain things and going on the apology tour. I don't know if Myers Leonard is good enough to go on an apology tour, but Ed, we're at the clock. Tell everyone how they can check you out.
Of course, right here on the Sports Cave on Inside Sports Talk, we'll actually is going to be airing in about a minute on KSRN. The latest episode we had with Jess Root from USA Today Cards Wire with Joanna Rosalie and I on Twitter at EdCole43 and Instagram at EdwardCole301.
Catch us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com is website. Cave is with a K. PLR on Sports. On the Twitter. Thanks for joining us. I feel like this should. Thanks, Ed, for calling in today, as we usually do Thursdays. Don't forget, tomorrow it's Jess Cave Show, Cigars with the Cave Show from Maduro's. So definitely check us out. I feel like this is me talking, not Ed. This should be stupid asshole week, considering that we had Myers Leonard, Les Miles, and the coach from Creighton. Until tomorrow, everyone take care. Tips, take us home.